Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The first psalm contrasts the way of the godly and the ungodly. It sets before us two paths, one of life and the other of death. The first is a fruitful life and the other is withered. We pray that you would choose to take the way which leads to a truly blessed life and avoid the path which will certainly end in misery and ruin. Please open your Bible to Psalm 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study.
Paul was a man who knew the Lord, and yet he wanted to know him better, and he realized to know him better that there were things that he could have done that were lawful, but he chose not to. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every burden, every impediment, and the sin which does so easily beset us or entangle us or trap us." Think of this. What easily besetting sin entangles you or traps you? We all have to battle with that, don't we? We all do. You ever see a person who trained for the Olympics, and then there it is, it's the 100-yard dash? What would you do if you saw them going onto the track with a snowsuit on and snow boots? You go, "You're crazy, man. You're not going to win." And we, even though we are redeemed and soundly saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are in a race, not in competition with one another. We are in a race to be the most fruitful, Christ-like people. And we're shedding off things. That's okay, but I'm not going to go there. I can watch that, but I'm not going to go there. PG for me means pretty good. That's about it. He says, "Let us lay aside the weight the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." Run with patience. Yeah, the race you and I are in is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It begins the moment you're born again, and it ends when you breathe your last breath. We are in the world, this world, but we are not of the world. And that's why we are warned about cultivating a friendship with the world. The Bible says in James 4:4, if you are a friend fond of, in love with this fallen world system, you're an enemy of God. The Bible tells us that you and I live in a world where sin abounds, where sin is practiced, and we get spotted by it. We get spotted by it. And that's why we must wash ourselves in the Word. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15 through 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the things thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever." That's Psalm 1. And what happens when a professing believer begins to get wrapped up in the world? They begin to get conformed to the image of the world, where the Spirit of God dwelling in you and me is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So, verse 2. Already. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." The word meditate is found 9 times in the Psalms. And so the blessed man, the blessed woman, not only avoids evil, they take it one step further, even the appearance of it. Because, why? because we delight in and want to build our lives around God's word. We want to actively seek him and live in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. You see, a godly person's actions are motivated by a love for God and by a heart that has been changed and made new by the truth of God's word. And those who desire to live with God's blessing and favor meditate on God's law. They meditate on it. That means they meditate on it in order to shape their thinking, to change their attitudes, to change their actions, that they may reflect the life of Jesus Christ. Meditating on God's word involves prayerfully reading a passage, thinking on it long and seriously to know what it means. So many times, I'm so guilty of having my quiet time, not you guys, and then I will get up, and I'll go get a cup of coffee number two, brew the water for Lizzie, because she's usually a little after me. And so the Bible has a book in the Bible that talks about what husbands are supposed to do for their wives in the morning. He brews. So I make coffee for her. That's taken a wee bit out of context, but the word meditate here, it means to ruminate, to chew. It's like a cow has multiple stomachs. They chew something, and then they bring it up and they chew it again. And then they bring it up and they chew it again. Now, that's gross in the natural, but it's beautiful in the supernatural. In fact, the Hebrew word for meditate means this. It means to reflect. It means to mutter. It means to ponder. It means to make a quiet sound, such as sighing. It means to contemplate something by repeating the words. Now, listen carefully. This is not the same as Bible memorization, which is important. Bible memorization is a mental exercise I love, because my mind is a sieve. If I don't put something in there, it goes places it should never go. Maybe yours doesn't. Mine does. So I have 3x5 cards with scripture in my car, in my room, every place that I go. I just don't have any up here because I don't need them. And when my mind starts flying towards places it shouldn't go, I take out that scripture. Now, Bible memorization is good. But in Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures means this. It means to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound. While doing that, you are utterly abandoning outside distractions. So you are declaring the word, you're reading the word, you're chewing on the word until the word gets in you. You understand what I'm saying? In fact, from this, there's a special way. The Jews have a way of praying that is called davening, D-A-V-E-N-I-N-G. And what they do is that they recite texts. They pray intense prayers. They're lost in the communion of God. And you ever see the Wailing Wall? And they're there. They're praying. They're going. You know what they're doing? They got the word. They're meditating. They're chewing on it. They're thinking it. They're declaring it. They're singing it. They're praising it. They're talking to the Lord of God. I'm a blessed man. I will walk in your ways. I will delight in your ways. I thank you, Lord, for your ways. You get it? You get it? You chew on it. It gets into your heart. It gets into your soul. It gets into your affections. It gets into you. It gets into you. It changes you. It's beautiful. Thomas L. Kempis quaintly put it this way. I have no rest but in a nook with my book. Meditation. And the man that meditates, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And like a tree, the godly person is alive, really alive, beautiful, fruitful, useful, enduring. And you know, the most important part of a tree is the hidden root system that draws up water and nourishment. And the most important part of the believer's life is your and my spiritual root system that draws on the hidden resources that we have in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul's prayer to believers, people who are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. They're born again. They're the chosen. They're the elect of God. All of those words that drive. There's words that drive Arminians crazy, and there's words that drive Calvinists crazy. And I love to see them both wince when they go through the scriptures. But the Bible says in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded, what? In love, in His love for you. Do you know tonight that the Lord loves you? You know that? Some people know it intellectually, but you need to know it in your heart. He loves you. You've placed faith in Christ. And that's some of the roots. The love of Christ and the love for Christ. Here's another root. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? Well, here it is. I'm here. I know you've probably been waiting for me for a long time. Yeah, Viola, repent and believe in my Son. Walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. That's the roots. It's Christ, the roots. That's what Jesus was describing in John chapter 15. I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. He's the vine. He's the source of the nutrition. And we need to be meditating on Him, meditating on His truth, chewing on His word. Whatever trial you may be going through, ask the Lord, show me a passage of Scripture. Show me a section of Scripture. You're going through spiritual warfare? Read Ephesians 6. Meditate on it. Pray over it. Rock back and forth. Have that second or third cup of coffee. Sing it. Declare it. Pronounce it. Announce it. God, thank you for your armor. Victory this side of heaven doesn't just happen. You and I must be intentional. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God. This is not a playground. We're not tourists. We're transplants from heaven in a world that is occupied by a foreign an evil force, the devil. And you and I are here on a redemptive mission. In Scripture, water for drinking is a picture of the Spirit of God, while water for washing pictures the Word of God. Thirst for water is an image of thirst for God. The other morning, I went out for a walk. I love to go out early in the morning. My track is very, very quiet. And I know exactly where all of the dogs are with the electric fence. So I'll wear one of those helmet lights. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I just want to know you more. I just want to know you more. Nothing else matters. And I'm walking, and about 50 feet in front of me come four deer. The Scripture says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after you. And I don't know if any of the neighbors saw me. I'm just there. I go, oh God, put that in me. I don't care whatever else. Give me that. Give me that hunger for you. Give me that hunger for you. Give me that thirst for you. Give me that desire for you. Those who faithfully pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord and desire a better understanding of God's word, He'll honor that. He says He will bless you. He says you will be fruitful. The Bible talks about all kinds of fruit, the fruit of winning people to Christ, the fruit of serving the Lord, the fruit of praising the Lord. And fruit comes from life. And the life that bears fruit is the overflow of the Spirit of God flowing in us and through us. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Does that mean that I can expect a 50,000 square foot house next week? You know, when the Bible says that the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, think about this. What does he come to steal and kill and destroy? Your house? Your car? No, your soul. Your walk with the Lord. That's what he wants. That's what annoys him. That's why when you're having quiet time and you're meditating, you begin to think of everything but what you're reading. Don't you? I've learned, turn off my cell phone. Don't let that thing ding. No dinging allowed. So if you're going to call me, I'm up, but don't call. Until if it's a 911, I'll get it. I got a couple hours. It's me and the Lord. No one else in the whole universe, just me and him. So you can't have that time. It's a time for me and Abba. That's a time for me and my bridegroom. It's time for me and my shepherd. Look at the way of the wicked, verses 4 through 6. They are like chaff. They are the ones who will be condemned on the judgment day. They are the ones who will perish for eternity. The first half of the psalm describes the godly person. The last half focuses on the ungodly. But here's something we need to keep in mind. The ungodly are the people that you and I are commanded to reach with the gospel. The wicked are pictured in many ways in Scripture, but the image here is chaff. In contrast to the righteous, we are like trees. The ungodly are dead. They're rootless. They're blown about. They're destined for fire. Chaff is worth nothing. When the grain is winnowed, the wind blows the chaff away, and what chaff remains is thrown into the fire. John the Baptist used the same images of the tree, the fruit, and the chaff to warn sinners, repent. That's part of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The two go hand in hand. There is no salvation apart from repentance. And there is no belief apart from repentance. The two, they're two sides of the coin. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are not planted by the rivers of water are not saved. And their lives are empty. It is so sad. I've told you guys, I will go to a restaurant with my wife and she's okay, and then I'll just start crying. Just start crying. I'm looking around and go, that's the only meal you're getting? That's it? That steak? Then what? Then what? Become so aware. The most important thing in life here is to think of eternity. Thinking of eternity will set your compass right down here. Now, Jesus said this, and we will close. Jesus said, follow me. Okay? Jesus Christ himself modeled Psalm 1 for us perfectly. Perfectly. Unless you and I become Christian Pharisees, or me, because there's a Pharisee right here. All I got to do is scratch my... There it is. Lest we become Christian Pharisees, let's all remember that we are commanded to follow the example of Jesus Christ and how he related to people. The ungodly, in verses 4 through 6, are our mission field. They should be on our prayer list. They're not our enemies. We have an adversary. We have an enemy, and it's the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Jesus perfectly showed us that it is possible to be amongst sinners without being a partaker of the sinful things that they do. It is possible. When I came to Christ, I was playing music. And the band was getting pretty successful, some live concerts on WCMF, and boy, I was getting close. Wow, here it is, here it is, here it is, here it is. I'm close. And then I got saved. All of a sudden, I don't care about being famous. I don't care about this. I got saved. But you know what's incredible? I've been praying Psalm 1. I've been praying for the ungodly. I've been praying for the wicked. And I'll tell you what. God knows your heart and he knows my heart. I've been praying for some of my lost friends. And they've been dinging me. A guy that I played in a band with in 1965 says, "Hey, Ray, let's be friends on Facebook." Now, I'm not suggesting that you guys do this. I have people, friends that play in bands who go, "Hey, we're playing at this place. We would love it if you came." You know what? So I've gone a couple times. I did nothing but sit there, talk music, tell them how much I love them and miss them, and I'm praying for them. And I want to see you in heaven one day. And they actually call back. I invite them here, but my Bible says you go to them. And I'll go. And I'll go. And the environment isn't what I would like. I'm glad that I'm pulled out of that. But my heart pumps for these people. They're so lost. They're so empty. They need Jesus so badly. And there may be people standing outside. "Well, you should be avoiding an appearance of evil." That makes me hurl. Don't judge me why I'm in there witnessing to those people. I walk in sober and spirit-filled, and I walk out sober and spirit-filled. Okay? Okay. I really believe this book. I really believe that the lost need the gospel. And I really believe that we need to go to them. But let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only perfectly righteous man of Psalm 1. And if you and I belong to Jesus Christ, Psalm 1 is going to be our pattern of life. And Psalm 1 is the way to true happiness here on earth. It's the pathway to God's blessing. I trust it's your path. You know, the psalm begins with the word blessed, and it ends with the word perish. And that's what's going to happen to every soul when they breathe their last breath. They're either going to be blessed forever with the Lord, or they're going to perish forever. There is a coming day of judgment, and the Lord is the righteous judge. And on that day, he's going to separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, the trees from the chaff, the wheat from the chaff. And no unbeliever will be able to stand in the assembly of the righteous. John put it this way in chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." When you read that the wrath of God abides on him, what does that do inside of you? What does that do inside of you? We all know people that are lost. Maybe there's even people that we've written off. They're too far gone. I want us to pray. And I want you and I to be thinking right now of people that we know that are just lost. And God knows. And I want us to pray that God would open the door for you and I to reach out to those people. That he would carve a wide open door to share the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ with those people. Father, tonight, each one of us, I'm thinking of two people right now. And I pray, along with my brothers and sisters here, for the people that they are thinking of. I'm just thinking of a couple of neighbors. Father, I pray that you would begin to touch their hearts, that you would put it in their heart to out of the blue, call us, talk to us, or give us an opportunity to call them and talk to them. Lord, you said the harvest is white. The harvest is great. And we don't want to be observers of the harvest. We want to be those who are fishing. Just like you told Peter. Open those doors, Lord. And may you tonight, once again, just confirm in our hearts the desire to walk in ways that please you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.